A new report from Gartner Research indicates that an average large company in the US could save at least $13.1 million a year by sending invoices to consumers via e-billing. According to Gartner, business-to-business or B2B companies could achieve a return on investment if 2.2% of their bills were viewed and paid over the internet. Business-to-customer, B2C companies, could achieve a return on investment if 9% of their bills were viewed and paid online. The report also indicates that B2B companies save $7.25 for each bill viewed and paid online, while B2C companies save 55 cents. In Australia, former Health Minister Michael Waldridge is embroiled in a fresh political scandal after it was revealed he accessed Health Department computers up to 5 months after he left office. Despite Health Minister Kay Patterson discovering the arrangements and ordering his disconnection on January the 15th, a former Waldridge staffer got him reconnected on January the 17th. His access wasn't finally cut until March the 15th. A Senate Estimates Committee was told that Dr. Waldridge had accessed email and files that were the province of his former office up to 150 times with the aid of two former officials between November 2001 and March 2002. The staffer who initiated Dr. Waldridge's access is now overseas, while another, a departmental officer, is on compassionate leave. Health Department Secretary Jane Holton said because the officers had allowed Dr. Waldridge the access, she believed there had been no breach of the law, but she accepted that allowing a former minister access was inappropriate. Ms. Holton said she was not aware of Dr. Waldridge's activities until March the 13th. Dr. Waldridge has denied he acted improperly, saying he only used it for accessing personal email. Dr. Waldridge said he was receiving emails as a private citizen from several hundred people who had his address, including friends, wine sellers, and an international political journal. Dr. Waldridge was cleared in an Auditor General's report of having a conflict of interest in relation to the GP House deal, in which he was alleged to have transferred money from asthma and rural doctor programs to fund a new GP headquarters in Canberra. Personal computer maker Gateway has stitched together an alliance of cable providers and will offer nationwide high-speed internet service, the number 3 US PC maker said on Wednesday. Gateway can offer service to 45% of US households through deals with 6 major cable companies. Gateway has refused to close the vast majority of its network of stores, backing Wall Street wisdom that the retail outlets cannot add enough revenue to web and telephone sales to justify their expense. Gateway has slashed other costs in a restructuring that has lasted more than a year, but has lost $123 million in the first quarter, and Gartner estimated its PC shipment sales fell by 30% from a year earlier. Gateway has said momentum has picked up since then, and it argues that the stores give Gateway a local presence competitors such as Dell lack. None of its competitors have national cable service. Gateway offers a free cable modem with purchase of many computers, which allows it to offer discounts of up to $15 per month on high-speed internet service, which is often around $50 per month, including modem rental. Gateway said that the high-speed cable modem service, which is always on and makes it more easy to download and view large files like music and video, would be the nucleus of Gateway's digital services. A controversial internet snooping centre to be opened in the summer by the UK government could cause more problems than it solves, experts say. The National Technical Assistance Centre, NTAC, will decrypt computer data and intercepted internet and email traffic as part of a drive against cybercrime. It follows a much criticised law, the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act, which came into force in October 2000 and gave law enforcers sweeping powers to spy on internet communications. However, government plans to foil cybercriminals could backfire, according to a member of the Internet Service Providers Association, ISPA, Stephen Dyer. He suggests it could make cybercriminals smarter, causing the centre to be in a constant and fruitless game of catch-up. Civil libertarians in the UK are outraged by the new centre. Research group Gartner has warned mobile operators that they should prepare for disappointment over the revenues they generate from mobile data service enabled by GPRS networks. Mobile phone companies have projected global revenue for GPRS, which is General Packet Radio Service, of over $2.5 billion this year and $32 billion in 2005. But the group's research director, Bill Clark, claims that some operators in Europe may miss those targets by as much as 50% over the next 3 years. Operators have rolled out GPRS infrastructure to allow more effective packet-based transmission of data, including mobile internet and messaging content across their networks, and to enable services that will give users a taste of potential multimedia applications accessible over 3G networks. But Gartner says that operators worldwide may have to spend an additional $6 billion to $9 billion, that's over and above the $113 billion already spent, to get services fully up and running. Also, as far as the market is concerned, the group points out that most GPRS services have so far been aimed at the business market, and not a mass consumer market, and yet to be solved interoperability, roaming and capacity issues will prevent widespread use of GPRS until 2005 or 2006. Furthermore, to succeed in bridging what he calls the application gap and creating more mainstream GPRS services, Clark says that operators will have to experiment considerably to find out what users want. Consumers may also be put off by initially high prices. He added, "We expect GPRS to break even in 2009 or 2011 timeframe, long after future wireless services such as 3G are due to be deployed." The design of some of the leading online stores is mediocre at best, but it is improving according to a new study by website usability expert Jacob Nielsen. The study examined 15 e-commerce sites, including those of Martha Stewart, L.L. Bean, and Office Depot. The study found that sites met an average of 49% of the usability guidelines developed by Nielsen's consulting company, the Nielsen Norman Group. In a similar study prepared by the Nielsen Norman Group 2 years ago, e-commerce sites met an average of 45% of the group's usability guidelines. Online shopping sites have long tinkered with their designs to try to optimize sales. E-commerce giants eBay and Amazon.com, for instance, have both overhauled their homepage design in the last 2 years in an effort to promote different parts of their site and highlight particular products. Despite the design changes, e-commerce companies still face the problem of nervous shoppers. Only 46% of US net users bought something online in 2001, according to Jupiter Media Matrix. Meanwhile, US consumers abandoned 66% of their shopping carts in 2001 before checking out, according to Forrester Research. The consumers who get irritated by an e-commerce site often don't return. While some of this is attributable to security concerns or the desire to see a product in person, consumers can also be frustrated by websites that make products difficult to find or make checking out confusing. Nielsen Norman Group has put together a list of some 207 usability guidelines. The guidelines cover everything from whether a site's product search engine will tolerate misspellings to whether a site requires a customer to select a state in the United States that they live in, something international users can't do. Among the sites the study considered this year, L.L. Bean's scored highest by meeting 66% of the guidelines. Meanwhile, Home and Garden had the lowest score, meeting just 38% of the guidelines. Apple Computer Incorporated has made its QuickTime 6 MPEG 4 player for both Mac and Windows available as a free download on its website. The company also took the wraps off a public preview of QuickTime Broadcaster for capturing and encoding MPEG 4 content for live streaming on the web. Aside from adhering to the new MPEG 4 standard, QuickTime 6 offers an instant on feature, which eliminates buffer delays and gives users the ability to scrub through streaming media content to find and instantly watch specific sections. Also, QuickTime 6 for Mac OS X supports JPEG 2000 standard, which allows users to capture still images in a higher quality and smaller file size than the original JPEG standard. A coalition of movie studios, TV broadcast networks, and electronics manufacturers has agreed on a proposal to prevent digital TV recordings from finding their way on the internet. The proposal, drafted by the coalition, called the Broadcast Protection Discussion Group, or BPDG, underscores Hollywood's concern that TV shows and movies will follow the same fate as the music industry, where digitized content can be swapped freely online. But for other parties involved in the group, the proposal signifies the growing debate between consumers' fair use of content and to what extent content should be protected. The BPDG aims to regulate what happens to the signal once it's picked up by a TV set. The proposal will require all digital TV set manufacturers to include a technology called a demodulator that will recognize a regular analog TV signal from a digital one. Digital signals will have a watermark called a broadcast flag embedded into their transmissions. Once the signal reaches the set, the demodulator encrypts it, allowing the content to be recorded onto other home entertainment components such as a TiVo set-top box, DVD recorder, and home networking systems. The only place where the digital recordings can't go is onto the internet. Consumers won't be able to post digital recordings onto file sharing services or send clips of digital TV programs to their friends. The group hasn't determined its immediate next step, but it will likely approach Congress and the FCC to support the proposal. Naturally, every side has its problems with the process. Electronics manufacturers in particular have complained that Hollywood has been too heavy-handed because the encryption measures won't allow DVR recordings to be replayed on standard DVD players. The blocking of recordable DVDs from being played on standard DVDs would hamper the evolution of digital recordings. This is an issue affecting many parties, especially the entertainment industry, consumer electronics manufacturers, TV networks, and consumer groups. In due time, TV signals will be broadcast in digital format, allowing people to receive pristine reception of their favorite shows and movies. Digital broadcasts will likely change the way people watch television and open the doors for electronics companies to sell new TV sets and a new breed of devices. But with digitization perks come the headaches, as evidenced by the rise in popular file-sharing services such as Napster, Kazaa, and LimeWire. Content converted in digital files can be easily copied and swapped. Movie studios and broadcast networks are taking measures to prevent their content from being freely distributed. Others have criticized the BPDG for being too heavily under the control of Hollywood's agenda. They claim the process of debate should have been more open to consumers and the press, who weren't allowed to attend BPDG meetings. And Advanced Micro Devices Incorporated, the biggest maker of microprocessors that power personal computers after Intel, on Monday unveiled its most powerful Athlon XP processor yet, as the two chip makers continue to slug it out in the marketplace. Sunnyvale, California-based Advanced Micro Devices said its Athlon XP 2200 processor, which has a clock speed of 1.8 billion cycles per second, uses 0.13 micron processor technology, meaning that the dimensions of the chip are smaller. That boosts performance and helps to cut production costs at the same time, because more chips can be carved from a single silicon wafer. AMD said that Hewlett-Packard will start selling PCs with the Athlon XP 2200 on June the 12th. Other PC makers include Fujitsu, Siemens, and NEC-CI in Europe, and they expect to start selling systems using the new processor later in the month. This is AMD's first chip made using 0.13 micron chip-making technology. The Athlon, first introduced about 3 years ago, has received favorable reviews, and some tests have ranked its performance ahead of rival Intel's Pentium 4 processors on some applications, even though some Pentium chips run at a higher clock speed than AMD's. Intel's speediest Pentium 4 runs at 2.53 GHz. AMD, however, has in the past year embarked on a campaign arguing that clock speed isn't the only and best measure of a processor's performance. As part of that campaign, AMD now distinguishes its various Athlon chips with model numbers rather than by clock speed, as it had in the past and as Intel continues to do. And that's News Briefs for this week.